Stand by for audio. Got it.
And now,
the Alex Baker Show
brings you one of the most exciting events it's ever been our privilege to bring.
Here we go again.
And this is just the beginning.
The Alex Baker Show podcast.
Yeah.
The Alex Baker Show.
Crying right now.
The only radio station man enough, or woman enough, to maintain this show. It's the Alex Baker Show. Sunday nights, 9 till 10, you know how it works. We sit around and chat about various different things. Well, I haven't said that in ages.
Ooh, still applies.
Me, you, Tommy, Kevin, Haley sitting around talking about various different things. That was the line. That was the lingo, except for Tommy's not on it anymore. Neither is Haley. Although Haley, for old school Alex Baker Show listeners, may be you may be interested to know that Haley...
The thing is, I really, really like his girlfriend and she's so nice.
He's back on British soil.
I didn't know this.
She's back.
What?
She's back on British soil.
She has not called me.
She hasn't called me either.
Interestingly,
I know she's a facey bee.
Haley, also...
Are you cringing at me saying facey bee?
No, this is quite a revelation for also for old school Alex Baker Show listeners.
She's not pregnant, is she?
No, but Haley does have an actual real life boyfriend.
Oh, no, I know. Poor guy. Has he any got any idea what he's let himself in
well,
for?
Well, we just never thought it would happen.
No, but it did. And, Oh, wow, remember when she was madly in love with Tommy?
No, I can't tell him anything. Of course I can't. I just love Tommy so much.
Oh, back in the day. How long ago was that?
We're
6 years?
Well, that's when it all began, really.
5 years ago?
Coming up to 6 years.
Sweet baby Jesus.
Mm.
Unbelievable. Well, anyway, for loads of people that are listening now, you're probably thinking, who the f*** is Hayley? Who is she? She used to be... Oh, sorry, that was a burp talk. She used to present on the show here with me and Kev years and years ago. And, she studied for years to become a midwife, became a midwife, trained as a midwife as well, like post-degree, did really well, and then just sogged it all off and went off to Thailand for a bit. And there she remained for years.
Australia, she then moved to Australia.
She went to Australia as well?
Yeah, she
Goodness traveled. Me. Oh, she's well-travelled, she is. Anyway, so she's not here, Renee's not here, but who is here? Let me tell you. Her name is Lee.
Hiya.
Lee in the house. How you doing, Lee?
I'm fabulous. How you doing?
Yeah, not bad. I've noticed a few bumps on my back, which I believe are muscular. Which I'm a little bit upset about. Kind of little sort of knotty bumps. So, that's what's going on in my world.
Personal.
Anything happening with you?
I have yet to see any bumps on my back, but
Will come. Wait until you hit your 30s. You know, things start aching. You start groaning as you sit in a chair. When I started doing this show, I was 22 years old. No, 23 years old. Is that right? How old were you, Kev? You were like 18.
Wow. No, I can't. I must have been... Hang on. I am...
I'm 31. So if it was 6 years ago...
It's not quite 6 years. It's 6 years at the end of this year.
Oh, no. No, I was 25. That's really easy math.
It is 6 years in September, isn't it? So that's very soon. So yeah, I would have been 22.
Oh, so young.
Yeah.
Hold on. You're much younger than that.
What do you mean?
How old are you now?
28.
Oh, right, yeah, so that does work out. Oh, maths on the Alex Baker Show.
Wow.
Yeah, so isn't this exciting? So anyway, nice to have you here, Lee. Kevin Hingley, you're in the house.
Hi.
Kev was off last week and the week before. What were you doing? Where were you at, homie?
Well, that was a very long time ago, wasn't it? I've been off doing all kinds of things. I was at Bloodstock Festival one
week. Oh, yeah, was it good?
That was amazing.
Did you f*** a Viking?
Standard and an orc. No, I love Bloodstock Festival.
So do I. It's brilliant.
It's the funniest festival in the world.
It's also one of the friendliest festivals.
Definitely, definitely, definitely the friendliest festival crowd ever.
That's why a lot of people get into... It's one of the reasons I first got into rock, because I was so sick of the aggro, like, hip-hop and garage communities that I was part of growing up in London. And suddenly I went to, like, a rock night, and everyone was, like, really lovely, and there was no attitude. And I was like, I think I prefer this scene.
The thing I liked about Bloodstock as well is, aside from the kind of various fancy dress offerings, because there are
offerings.
A lot, you know, there was a whole squadron of Judge Dredds, which I quite enjoyed. Aside from that, when you go to, like, I don't know, Download Festival or whatever, you might think, wow, there's a lot of dudes in black band t-shirts here, right? You have not seen anything until you've been to Bloodstock Festival for dudes in black band t-shirts. Like, I wore grey one day, and I felt colourful. I literally felt too colourful. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm going to get beaten up.
I look like a hippie.
But it would never happen because they're all so friendly and lovely.
Oh, remember we went to Bloodstock one year. I was DJing at the Monster Watchtower, and we had a campsite, our own little private party campsite. Within the compound.
We camped in the arena.
In the arena. So we woke up in the arena, and when there was like no one else around at all, it was so weird. We had the run of the place. Having the run of an empty festival site is nowhere near as fun as it sounds. Or maybe it is exactly as fun as it sounds. I not at all. But anyway, Kev was with an ex-girlfriend at the time, and myself and Tommy were a little bit inebriated, shall we say. And we came back to the tent. I unzipped the tent, and there was Kev and his ex-girlfriend naked in the tent. So I thought, what do I do? I know. I dived into the tent, dove into the tent, on top of Kev and his ex-girlfriend, who were both naked. And I had an Ocarina app on my iPhone. So I pulled out my iPhone, fired up the app, and started playing the Ocarina to them. And they were like, dude, seriously, get the f*** out of my tent. I was like, listen to this tune there. It sounds like Zelda. I used to love that Ocarina app. You blew in the mic and it sounded like an Ocarina.
Pretty clever.
What's not to like?
Have you still got it?
No. No, but I've got to get it back. Why did I ever get rid of it?
It will still be in your like purchase history, though, won't it? Yeah. On your app store, so you'll be able to get it easily.
Let's have a look right now.
Let's do it.
You guys carry
have
on.
Have you got any new apps recently, Lee?
I actually did. I got one that kind of... It's sort of like, you know, like photo booth, but it makes your face go all like squidgy or like fat. It's like one, but it takes recordings of it. And I was having one where I thought it was really funny because my head looked like a bowling ball. And I kept sending like videos to my friends. He's like, Lee, stop it, it's really freaking me out. So I just continue doing it. And I also set my voice to be really high. So I was like, hi, Scott, Benny, I'm a bowling ball. And just kept sending him these videos.
Wicked. That would make me well appy. Can you believe it? Oh, dear. Oh, no, I've just managed to... I've got it. Ocarina from Smool was the name of the app developer. Big up, Smool.
I wonder if it's been supported ever since, like, if they've periodically released updates. It's probably some incredible version now.
I hope so. Allow Ocarina to access your location even when you're not using the app.
That's necessary.
No, I don't think I will allow you to do that, but thanks for giving me the option. Right, here we go. So this is what it says. It says you blow into the mic. Let me just turn that music off. And then you've got little buttons.
Oh my God.
That's so great.
How sick is that? And I'm whistling at the same time. Oh, I could do harmonies. I mean, it's just the greatest thing in the world.
Is this just bringing back memories for you?
A little bit.
Kev's getting a b***.
I'm also... I love the idea of anyone walking past the studio right now, though, looking in the window, because it literally looks like you just don't know how to use a mobile phone. Like, you're trying to... What do I do? Do I just put the whole thing in my mouth?
I've stopped now. I can't mobile phone anymore. I can just hear you in my voice. Get the f*** out of my tent! Dude, and I was like lying on top of you. All that was in between me and you with your ex-girlfriend.
Oh, God.
In. It was a thin sleeping bag and a hope. Oh man, I could play with that all day. Oh yeah, forgot we're on air, aren't we? Oh, I just dropped everything on the floor. Hold on. Talking loudly.
So this is what we would refer to as first show back rust.
Rust? We're on fire. Alright, so that, I've been thinking a lot this week. I've been feeling quite nostalgic recently. I've just bought a new house, we mentioned this. And for the first time in my life, I feel really like grown up. Not old, because I never feel old, but I feel really grown up. And what I've tried to start doing is like thinking about things that I used to do as a kid to try and remind me to stay young at heart. Do you know what I mean? Because it's very easy to sort of like get old very quickly when like real life things start happening. So I've been trying to think back to all the stuff that I used to love as a kid. I've been feeling really nostalgic about the 90s and noughties. I was born in 83, right, which makes me sound really old. But yeah, 90s and noughties was like when I was a kid. And I've been thinking about loads of stuff from that era. And I wonder if any of you guys listening now, at home, or wherever you are, and you guys in the studio, remember any of this? Lee, you're like a baby, aren't you? You're like 3 years old or something.
Basically, I'm 23.
23. All right, so you're not that young. So were you born in 98 or something?
92.
Are you actually born in the 90s?
Yeah.
Whenever I hear anyone that's birth year doesn't start with 80 or earlier,
yeah,
I instantly think that they're like 15.
An actual child,
because
yeah.
Because I think because when I was turning 18... those people, you know, were not 18. That's like my point of reference. But I
cool
forget,
description, bro.
I forget that I haven't been 18 for 10 years. So
well, exactly.
The world's moved on.
I have this thing with Mel. Like, we're in this new town, right? And we're trying to make friends. But everyone that
it's so awkward.
It's so awkward. Everyone that I see, that I'm like, oh, Mel, look, they look our age. We go and talk to them. Mel's like, Alex, they're like 16 years old. I'm like, no, they're blatantly our age. They're blatantly our age. Then you walk past them and like, hello, mate. Oh my God, they're so young. And she said to me the other day, she was like, Alex, I'm going to give you a top tip. You know how you're rubbish at picking people's ages? I'm like, yeah. She's like, what you've got to do is if you see someone and you think they look about the same age as us, just bear in mind that they're probably between 16 and 19. Right. And I'm like, oh, right. And I realized why. It's because I'm stuck in this world where I'm young, but like, I'm not young. So people that actually look my age look kind of old. And I've got a mate called Ewan, and Ewan's a little bit older than me. And he said, I love Ewan. He's such a funny guy. He said to me years ago, he was like, Alex, you'll get to a point in your 30s where you know you're old because to women, you're just invisible. Like, they don't even acknowledge that you're there. It's not like they look at you and go, oh, yeah, I know, he's maybe a little bit, like, old for me. They look straight through you as if you don't even exist. And I've noticed that happening recently.
Wow.
Yeah, a dude looked at me on the street. I was walking through Soho and a guy checked me out and I felt amazing. I was like, even if a dude's doing it, at least I've got something. Apart from my wife, obviously, who loves me deeply. Anyway, so, yeah, feeling nostalgic. Who remembers Dawson's Creek?
Oh, yeah.
I remember Dawson's Creek. Do you remember Dawson's Creek?
I remember it. I was never one for watching sort of any teen, like American teen dramas, but I'm familiar with it.
Because they were all absolute bull.
Basically.
Or because you were four when they came out.
Probably, yeah. My mum probably would have been like, not for you.
My mate Damien at school was like a proper like rude boy. Like he loved garage and hip hop exclusively and he used to like go to raves and stuff and MC and DJ and all this kind of stuff. And I remember staying out over at his house one, he lived on an estate in North London. And we went to his house one evening to like watch the wrestling and have like a sleepover and stuff. And we were like listening to loads of really like gnarly hip hop and dirty music. And like some of his mates from the estate came over and it was like really grimy and like watching the wrestling and swearing and, you know, WKD and all the rest of it. And in the morning, he woke me up. He tapped me on the shoulder. He's like, Alex, I was like, whoa, what's going on? Are we getting mugged? What's going on? We're getting jacked. He's like, no, Dawson's Creek's about to start. And he was like super excited. We went downstairs and his mum had like made us this big breakfast. All these like, he was like, I think he was half Scottish. And there was all these like weird Scottish flat sausage meats and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, you know, square sausage.
Square sausage, there we go.
Also
you know.
Known as a Lorn sausage if you want to get like technical about it.
A Lorn sausage?
Mm-hmm.
L-A-W-N?
L-O-R-N-E.
Lorn sausage, yeah, mm-hmm. some of those.
Can I ask something actually as an actual Scottish person? What are neeps and tatties? Or is it neeps and tatties?
Neeps and tatties, so it's turnips and potatoes.
Oh,
so it's with haggis, neeps, and tatties. So it's haggis,
nips,
turnips.
Turnips.
Yes.
And tatties, potatoes.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, that sounds like an awful meal.
I actually don't like any of it, but
three horrible things.
It's just like a very traditional sort of, it's like a sort of Sunday roast. It's just a traditional.
Is it true that in Scotland, like Scottish people are like obsessed with sugar?
Well, one of our most famous desserts is like just pure sugar. It's called tablet. And it's literally just like
oh, I've had that.
Sugar.
Oh, I've had that.
It's delicious.
It's like hard, isn't it?
Of course, it's delicious. It's just sugar.
It's just sugar. So it's not like it's not fudge. So it's not like chewy. It's like hard fudge. It's delicious.
Amazing.
It's really crumbly.
Is it a bit like Kendall mint cake?
I don't know what that is.
It's like that kind of hard. It's like a hard, almost chalky substance.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like that, but with sugar just instead, sugar. Instead of any, not even a nod towards health in
you,
any
you
way.
You may as well just like put a sugar cube in your mouth. You're getting the same.
Oh,
meal.
I do that all the time. People always look at me weird when I eat sugar cubes from the bowl. I always like pop one in my mouth. People are like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, what's not to like? It's just brilliant tasting.
Well, you're not a horse.
Yeah, is that what they do?
Yeah, they eat sugar cubes.
That's like a nice treat for them.
Another thing about Dawson's Creek, Pacey. Do you remember Pacey, Joshua Jackson? No, shaking heads. People at home, do you remember Pacey? There was a series of Dawson's Creek where Pacey frosted his tips. I'm doing the little inverted commas thing.
Oh, he's in something.
He's in loads of stuff.
Like
he's in
recent.
Fringe.
Yeah.
He's in The Affair. He's Oh, you haven't seen The Affair? It's amazing. He's in loads of stuff. He's like a big actor.
Mm. Frosted tips, I have heard of. Frosted tips,
which is essentially when you've got like spiky
disgusting,
hair,
yeah.
But the top bit is blonde. Well, Pacey did it on TV and on Dawson's Creek, and I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. So literally the next day, I went out with Damien actually, and I got my tips frosted, and I went back to school, and there was this really weird moment in my life where I was really shy as a kid, like really terrified of everyone and everything, and girls. Don't even get me started. I could not speak to a girl. I remember once, I think I've told this story on air before, but there was a girl I really fancied called Emily Hatton, and she was a clarinet player, and I was a flute player. We used to go to Saturday morning orchestra, and she was in my school, but she wasn't in my class, and always like really scared to talk to her. But we went to this music centre, and she was there. So every Saturday, like away from all my school friends, I'd see Emily, and she'd always like smile and go hello. And then I remember one time I was at school, and I was in the like coat area, and my mate said, "This is primary school." My mate said to me, "Oh, I've heard that Emily fancies you." And I was like, no, she's so out of my league. No way, sort of thing. And but I had this in my mind. And Emily, I was waiting outside the school where the music centre was for my mum to pick me up. And Emily came sort of walking past and she smiled at me and she went, "Hi, Alex." And rather than going, "Oh, hi, Emily," because I had this thing in my head about her fancying me, I went, and like laughed. And as I laughed, like the most insane amount of snot came blasting out of my nose.
Oh, no.
All down my top. And she literally looked at me and went, "Ugh." Like she said, "Ugh." What's up? And that was like the last I ever spoke to her. Until years later at a party when I was drunk and I asked her if it was true. She said no. So that was brilliant. So anyway, yeah, I went and got my tips frosted. How did I get on to talking about Emily Hatton? I went to get my tips frosted.
It's not damaged you at all, has it?
Yeah.
It's
not live with me forever. But I had this, yeah, so I had this kind of like horrible lack of ability to talk to anybody, and I was super shy. And I had really long hair as a kid. It was always in my face and all the rest of it. And then I went out, got my hair cut and had my tips frosted. And it like overnight revolutionized my life. I came back to school and like all these people that never spoke to me before started talking to me. And that weekend we went to a house party. And at this house party, I was like, I got off with like loads of girls.
Was it like Never Been Kissed?
I don't know. I've not seen that. Oh, I have seen that.
And they give it like a makeover.
She's All That when she takes off her glasses and it's like, oh my God.
She's so amazing. Yeah, exactly. Like not another teen movie. Yeah. He's like, oh my God, she's got a ponytail.
Yeah.
She takes her ponytail out and he's like, whoa. But yeah, basically like that. But like with frosted tips instead. I went to this party and I got off with all these girls and it like revolutionised my life. So I didn't become like a Lothario, but anyway, that was Dawson's Creek. Pogs. Who remembers Pogs?
Yes, loved Pogs.
Pog, you again? You too young for Pogs?
I don't think I know what Pogs. It sounds really familiar, but I don't think I know.
It was a real moment in time. Pogs were these like circular little cardboard discs, which sounds so rubbish. It was rubbish.
It was just so weird.
Some of them were like plastic and they were called Slammers. Remember Slammers?
Yeah.
The Slammers were like, they're all collectible. They all had like different faces on them and stuff. And you'd like swap them with your friends and all this business. But this was at secondary school now. And at secondary school, the Pogs Mafia was strong. You know, and people used to steal people's Pogs, and there was like a real underground Pog thing going on.
It was dark.
It was a dark time because everybody had them and everybody wanted certain ones, and it got a bit tasty. So I had this magical idea. One night at home, I laid out all my Pogs on the floor in the bathroom, and actually in the bath, and I picked up a can of my Joe Bloggs Fire and Ice aftershave, which features prominently in many of my stories as a child, because I had this aftershave, or say aftershave, like crap deodorant. I had it for years because I never used it. So I used to use it for weird things. Yeah. And then I'd put it back in my cupboard and not use it for ages. So I put all my pogs in the bath, got out my fire and ice, which are two. One was called fire, one was called ice, and sprayed all my pogs with my deodorant, right? Like literally soaked them in deodorant spray and let them dry out. And then all my pogs smelt like rancid, cheap aftershave. And so that meant if anyone ever stole one of my pogs, I'd be like, oh, I think that one's mine. They'd be like, no, mate. I'd be like, give it here. It's more than mine, mate.
Oh.
Like, smell the aftershave.
I thought it was, like, going to be in some kind of effort to harden them up. You know how you,
like
you pickle a conker or whatever.
Yeah.
To throw the game. But no, that's quite sort of smart, actually.
I thought it was quite sophisticated.
That's quite smart.
Yeah, thank you. I also used my fire and ice aftershave / deodorant to set my bag on fire at school.
Yeah, clever.
And the head teacher came around the corner, saw me standing there with this bag that was on fire, literally on fire, like a ball of fire, just sprayed it all over it and lit it. And he came around the corner and he went, screamed and ran off. Right? And then that same night, I was doing a recital because I've always been into music and like played guitar and flute and whatnot. And I was doing a flute recital at my school that night. And I turned up with my parents, and Mr. O'Shea, my headmaster, went, Alex, can I have a quick word? Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Baker. Hello. How are you? Alex, can I have a quick word, please? I was like, yeah, of course you can. So he went over to one side and he went, about the arson incident earlier. It's like, I'd like to not walk around the corner of my school corridors and see a boy with a ball of fire in his hands. Can we make sure that doesn't happen again? I was like, of course, Mr. O'Shea. And he was like, enjoy the recital.
I can't believe you didn't get in more trouble for that.
With it. I know.
You're so chill about you just setting like your stuff on fire.
I know. Please, if you're listening now, do not do that. You literally could burn something down and you'll go to prison forever. So yeah, but that was something to do with POGs. MSN Messenger.
Oh, here we go.
Life.
Now, MSN Messenger, exactly, that word sums it up. Life.
Yeah.
Most people at this time that were young would use MSN Messenger. Now, I used MSN Messenger. You should talk to all my friends on MSN Messenger. But MSN Messenger was also evil because it was really easy to find out if people were lying about stuff. And I had a girlfriend who I knew was flirting with this dude on MSN Messenger. And I mentioned it to her a few times. I was like, oh, I'm fairly sure I saw over your shoulder, like, you know, as you were typing like something. And she was like, no. And she'd always like delete it. Like, oh, no, I didn't say anything. And I was quite jealous as a youngster, which is bad. And I had that horrible scenario. You know, you're encouraged not to read people's diaries. Like, don't read people's diaries, because if you find something you like, it'll be really difficult. And then you can't confront them because you can't tell them that you've read their diary. MSN Messenger was exactly the same. So I didn't believe her that she was like, I wasn't flirting with this dude while I was going out there. So I went into her MSN Messenger history, which she didn't even know you could do, and just read all of her conversations.
Yeah,
which is really, really intrusive, you know? But I found all this stuff, and there was like, all this really incriminating stuff. So I then said to her, I looked at your MSN Messenger history and saw all this stuff you wrote to this dude. I can't remember what his name was. And she went absolutely mental at me and broke up with me, which was kind of fair enough because I did invade her privacy, but equally, what a hussy. So, MSN, have you guys got any MSN Messenger tales you can regale us with?
I just liked some of the weird ways in which you would communicate with people. I feel like it's... Nowadays, there are so many ways to instantly communicate with people that you don't even really think about it. You just talk.
You just talk to each other in person?
No, I mean, so say we're talking about Facebook Messenger, we're talking about WhatsApp, we're talking about text. You just tell each other what you want to tell each other.
Chuck a
few emojis in, a funny picture or whatever.
Bob's your uncle.
But because... I don't know what it was about MSN Messenger. I think it's because it was such an island. It was the only way at the time of sort of instantly... This is before text messaging.
It was.
For a long time, you know.
God,
and
it was.
And the internet was just crap. When you talk about the World Wide Web, you know, there wasn't good websites at the time.
It was also something that was actually instant because the internet was so crap and everything was so slow. What was amazing about Instant Messenger is it was instant.
Yeah.
Because it was like such small data.
Unless you were trying to send each other a song, which would take like 9 hours.
Years.
which was ridiculous. But yeah, it was just the little things you would do and think about when you were doing it. So like setting yourself to appear offline and then online and then offline and then online really quickly to get someone to notice you, like if the person you fancied was online and you wanted them to...
I didn't do that.
Everyone did it.
That's a little trick.
Everyone used to do that.
I did the reverse of that.
What's the reverse?
So a guy once... I had a part-time job when I was growing up. I worked in a supermarket. And this guy that worked in a different department, his name was Tommy. And we were like, I had a lot of just definitely MSN Messenger friends. And he once, like one night, started speaking to me and I was like, oh, yeah, what's up? Just like chatting general nonsense that teenagers talk about. And he was like... And he did the whole thing. He was like, oh, I've got this girl that I really like. And I was like, oh, what's her name? What's she like? And he was like, oh, well, it's actually you. And I was wondering if, like, oh, God, can I even talk about it now? It makes me cringe so much. He was like, I was wondering if maybe you wanted to, like go out with me. It wasn't like going on a date because you didn't do that back then. It was just go out with me, like, immediately.
Yeah, immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so...
immediately.
And so even though it showed that I'd read his message, I just... clicked appear offline and didn't answer.
Bye. Bye.
But I still had to work with him every weekend. No.
And what I love about that as well is that you worked in a shop. So when you said before, like quite cavalierly, in a different department, like in an office, a different department could be a different floor or a different building. But when it's a different department in a shop, it's just like they're just over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like 5 meters away
all the time.
I'd be on a checkout and he'd be probably at the end of the checkout just restocking.
Oh, no.
Amazing. Brutal. There we go. Well, go offline, helping people out of awkward situations. Yeah, you can't get away with that now. You see if someone's read your message and they go, oh, they read my message and they haven't got back to me. I can't believe it. So anyway, MSN Messenger. Some people loved it. I thought it was evil. Phones with battery that lasted forever. The Nokia 3310, you know, the one without an aerial? You could literally charge that at the start of the week and about 2 weeks later, just... it would still be fine. Lasted forever.
They were indestructible as well. They were so good. They were like...
chuck it against the wall, no problem.
Although actually, I have another story. So my parents were separated when I was younger, and so I'd get like different presents for them.
Yeah.
And one time my mum got me like the Nokia like phone. She was like, I've been saving it. She was like, oh my God, that's amazing. And then like a few hours later, I went to my dad's house for Christmas and he was like, listen, I've got you a really special present because me and your mum aren't together, but I always get something nice. And he'd got me the same phone.
Oh, no.
So I had two of them.
Oh, God.
And so I didn't want to say it, so I took it back to my mum's house. And she was like, oh, it's fine. You can just keep it and he can use that to call you on it and it's fine. And one day we were driving on the motorway and I just had it on the dashboard of the car. And my mum went to turn a corner and in slow motion, the phone went across the dashboard and out of my mum's window.
Was that the one your mum bought you or the one your dad bought you?
My dad bought
it. Oh, she totally did it on purpose.
Did it on purpose.
Totally.
And I was like, I was so, because I was in the car with my mum and I was like, oh my God, she's going to kill me. She's literally, like, I've just, like, this is probably like hundreds of pounds. I don't know how much it was back then. She's going to kill me. And then she just bursts out laughing.
Quality.
She was like, oh, that's why I told you to leave my phone at home.
She's been looking for the opportunity the whole time. Every time you were walking across a bridge together or something, she was like eyeing up the drop. Swimming, is it? Oh, brilliant. So there we go. Phones with battery that lasted forever. Sorting out your MySpace top 8. Who remembers those days?
So difficult.
Comment my default.
Yeah, PC for PC.
MySpace top 8 was intense. The amount of fights people had with the top 8. Because the worst part was when you had someone in your top 8 and then you're like, oh, I don't really want them in my top 8 anymore. And you'd have something... You love it when you go out with a girl or a dude and you sort of realise the relationship's over, but you kind of... you can't really be bothered with breaking up because it's so much effort. But then you get to a point where you're like, I've really just got to get rid of him. Right, not get rid of him, like kill him and bury him in a garden. But you know what I mean? But like with MySpace top 8, there was a person who was on there for so long. I didn't talk to them anymore, but I just didn't have the heart to take them out. But I didn't talk to them anymore. So eventually I was just like, I might as well just take them out. I'm just being silly. They're not even going to care. So I took them out and that day I got a text saying, can't believe you took me out of your top 8. I know we haven't spoken in ages, but I still thought we were still friends. Probably MSN messaged me. But anyway, any MySpace 8, top 8 stories from Kimmy?
What I always found with MySpace top 8, I mean, fortunately, later on, you could hack it so you could have like top 32 or whatever, which made it a lot easier.
So not the point, though.
But what I used to do, what a lot of people used to do, is if you did have to take someone out, you'd come up with an excuse for what the like theme of your top eight is.
Yeah.
So it would suddenly be like, oh, I'm sorry I took you out, but it's just because it's the it's people that like physically live near me that yeah. I've got. Or yeah. like people that I knew in year 10
yeah.
specifically. Or you know, people that you know, from bands only or not from bands.
Like.
Well yeah, yeah. So yeah, lots of drama aplenty on MySpace as well.
Oh man, that's like the early Twitter version of being followed, isn't it? If being in someone's top eight, you know, it was kind of like a really flattering thing to have. So that was another thing. And also, one other thing, I know we've been banging on for ages, but who remembers this f***ing guy? Why has he got his f*** out? Why? No one ever explained that. If a video of Crazy Frog, he has his penis out. He's got like a baby boy's penis.
You know what's interesting about the Crazy Frog, and there'll be a lot of people listening that don't know this. So you just played that, but in the studio, we've actually watched it with the video of the little blue animated frog.
Yeah.
Right?
Look at him. He looks like an absolute mentalist.
That's actually a development of that happened years later after its origin. So the Crazy Frog was just an audio file. That's how it started.
Right.
And it was an audio file really, really early on in the days of the internet. And it was, I remember how it started. It was just some dude mucking about with a microphone and uploaded it when, like, you could first upload audio files.
Really?
And it just became this thing that went round and then just disappeared for years.
So it was like a really early meme, basically.
Yeah, kind of. And then years and years later, someone obviously rediscovered it again and thought that it needed a visual and turned it into that, and then they made the song and all sorts of stuff with it. But yeah, I remember that from, I mean, we got the internet really, really early because of something to do with my dad's work, and it was all connected to his work, and there was nothing, barely anything on the internet at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember hearing it really early on then, and it was a thing. Do you remember Hamster Dance as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just loads of hamsters dancing.
I just spent hours on that thing. It just looped around with that annoying song. What was the song? Pika pika, pika do do.
Oh, should I find it?
Yeah.
Hamster, right, talk amongst yourself.
And there was loads of, like, evolutions of it as well. I can't remember what they were, but it was one of these things, like a meme. It developed and developed, and it'd become, like, zombie hamster dance, and there'd be, like, a Halloween one and a Christmas one. And it was just a loop, just a really irritating loop.
Legitimately good 90s dance tune.
Yeah.
Seal's gonna rock up in a minute. Literally transfixed. That's incredible.
I can't. The thing that's funny as well, there'll be people listening now that are in school and they'll go to school discos. I'm assuming school discos still happen. That's still a thing, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Prom, I guess now. And you'll go to a school disco now and you'll listen to music that's probably just accepted as generally normal pop music, good music. They'll put like Taylor Swift and
Bieber,
One Direction, Bieber, maybe, you know, maybe a bit of dance, Calvin Harris and stuff.
Yeah.
In our day at school,
get this
was the calibre of music. It would be like this and Venga Boys. And
do you remember Dupe? Dupe,
Doop, and Scatman John. Doop, 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 do of the 90s in music was...
Cotton Eye Joe.
Utter nonsense.
The 90s was the time of the novelty track, wasn't it?
It was, literally, like a decade of novelty.
Yeah.
Like no other time.
Mr. Blobby, Christmas number one. And also, what's quite funny, because interestingly, it's actually 20 years this week since the, or last week, the Blur and Oasis battle for number one.
That big Britain battle. It?
Yeah, of Roll With It versus Country House.
God.
And there's been a lot of talk about it. But what's quite funny is when you look at album sales for that year, neither of those albums actually went on to sell any, like, they sold a lot, but not kind of record-breaking units. They weren't the biggest-selling albums of that year. You know what the biggest-selling album of that year was?
Oh, I don't want to know.
Robson and Jerome.
Oh God.
Literally,
really?
The year... People think of that year as, like, Britpop, Oasis, Blur, even Nirvana and Green Day kicking around and all this. Oh. Robson and Jerome.
Oh, f*** you, UK.
And you know why?
Why?
Simon Cowell.
Is that right? Was he behind Robson and Jerome?
Robson and Jerome was a Simon Cowell thing. So they had a... they were on that show. What was the show they were on? The TV show they all started on?
Pop Idol.
Soldier.
Oh,
that
right.
was it. And they started singing in one of the episodes of Soldier. People loved it. They released it as a single. And then Simon Cowell put an album out. And even more interestingly, someone I know once asked Simon Cowell, who came across him in a work situation, how he chose the songs for that album, because it was all covers of like old songs that people loved, because it was all like my love.
Yeah, Unchained Melody.
I said, well, how did you pick the track list for it? Because it sold enormous units. And he said, oh, well, I've got a mate who runs a jukebox company. So I just phoned him up and said, can you send me a list of the 15 most played songs on all the jukeboxes in the pubs in the UK?
Genius.
And then made that the track list, and they covered all those songs.
Genius.
There you go.
That is an amazing story.
Thank you very much.
Oh my God, that is, Simon Cowell is a genius. Yeah. What a genius move that is.
And how long he's been, you know, ruining your life for.
Yeah. And now one of them's in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I'd love it if he started singing in that.
He already has.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, did it. It was like a thing, wasn't
yeah.
it? Oh, anyway, a trip down memory lane. Apologies to anybody that's younger than probably, I'd say, 20, because you're sort of bordering on half of this kind of made no sense to you.
Yeah.
So anyone sort of younger than Lee, so 23, was it you said you were? Mm. 23 and under, that was probably the most boring 40 minutes of your entire life.
Oh, my God.
The Alex Baker Show Podcast.
But anyway, so welcome to the show. My name is Alex Baker. This is the Alex Baker Show. I hope you're feeling absolutely wicked. I love the fact wicked. Is wicked, I think that word's gone now, isn't it?
I think it's coming back.
Do you think?
I've been using it more lately.
Have you?
Yeah. Maybe it's just me.
I was watching Holmes Under the Hammer like the other day.
Obviously.
Standard rock and roll fare. And there was a guy on it who was like probably, well, to be honest, like as I was talking about before, he was probably my age, but to me, he looked about 40. I was like, who's that old dude? And it was this guy, and he thought, you know, like old guys who think they look really cool.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And he was kept saying things like, oh, yeah, wicked. And I was just like cringing so hard at the idea of an old person saying wicked. And then I just said wicked and suddenly felt really old.
Yeah.
But you reckon it's coming back? Did I get away with it? Did I pull it off?
It can be coming back because we say it's coming back.
Yeah, standard. How we roll.
Trendsetters, the not trend followers.
The wicked revolution.
Oh. I think you have to say it like very nonchalant. Like, yeah. Oh, wicked.
Oh, wicked, yeah, yeah. Oh, not like, oh, dude, that's like totally wicked. Don't you think? Rad, yeah? Guys? Guys? So alone. 12-mile high space elevator is something I've got written down here. But basically what's happened is in the world, I think it's in Canada, someone's designed a 12-mile high space elevator. So what this is, it basically looks like a massive tube with a platform on the top, and you get in at the bottom at ground level, and you press up, wait for, I imagine, hours, and then the doors open, you step in, and you travel 12 miles up in this big cylinder to the top, get out, get in your spaceship, and go into space. Designed to save a fortune on fuel, apparently. So when space travel becomes the norm and people are dipping in and out of space, all nonchalant, no big deal, totally whatever, everybody will use this 12-mile high space platform. And it'll have automatic landing features as well. So the pod or whatever that you're coming in from space on, it'll have GPS located to that precise point, and it will touch down on top. You'll get off 12 miles high in the air and wait for the elevator for probably ages and then go down and back on the floor. Isn't that amazing? Or awesome, as some might think.
The future.
the time not yet come. What is to come?
Some things today just be shitting this because it'd be awesome if they did. Simple Invention feature where you guys get on facebook.com/Kerrang Radio or hit me up on Twitter @Kerrang Radio and tell us awesome things that don't exist but should exist, as it would be awesome if they did. Inventions, really. The kind of stuff that you take into the den and hang out with Deb. You know what? I really like Deborah Meaden. I know she's a friend of the show.
Love her.
But I really like Deborah Meaden.
Oh.
Like her.
Oh, right.
Like, if I wasn't with Mel,
I'd
pursue Deborah Meaden.
That sounds aggressive.
Not a sexually aggressive way, but in a kind of like, I'd probably ask her if she wanted to go for dinner or something.
Right.
Is that
what
weird?
Do you think she would say?
I think she'd probably say no.
Is she married?
No.
Ah.
I think she'd probably say no. She'd probably be like, no, and then fully unfollow me. But equally, I'd like to give it a go.
Let's try it.
I can't because I'm married. It's not the way I roll. And also, I don't want to lead her on, you know? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, no.
God. Yeah, take it back to my den. Anyway, so awesome things has kicked off. Has anyone got any awesome suggestions? Lee in the studio. Have you got any awesome things for us?
Well, I find it really hard to get up in the morning. It's not even getting up. It's literally physically getting myself out of bed.
Yeah,
it's literally like moving myself from under the duvet and out of the pillow. So I think it would be good if sort of your bed and shower could sort of become some kind of weird like combined device where your alarm goes off and like sort of like a transformer, your bed just goes and then all of a sudden you're in the shower.
Yeah.
Then it wakes me up right away and I'm fine.
Digging
but
that.
But it's physically getting myself out of bed that then leads me to go, oh no.
You could have your bed, could have like a part in the middle that kind of goes down.
Yeah.
And you could have a bath under your bed. And it could take you right down into the bath and like submerge you.
Perfect. Maybe it just splits and you just drop into the bath.
Oh my God, brutal.
That'd be a wake up though, wouldn't it?
That'd be horrific.
I can't think of anything worse, but yeah, that would do the job.
It is, because it's that first like sort of 10 seconds your alarm goes off and you realise you have to leave your bed, but it's so hard.
We had a similar idea years ago on the station. On the station? On the show. Where, I can't remember what we called it. Kev probably gave it a wacky, hilarious name. But essentially it was where your mattress, because obviously when you're in bed, it's so comfortable. Oh, God, amazing. But the way this worked was that your mattress had like some sort of device in it that firmed the mattress up. So when you woke, when your alarm went off, it like Bluetoothed it to your mattress or whatever. And the mattress started to get firmer and firmer and firmer until it was like lying on like a rock. And then you'd be like, oh, I'm not comfortable anymore. And you'd just get up. That'd be quite a good idea.
That is good. I'm not really good at being an adult yet and getting myself out of bed, so I just need...
That's fair.
Short of someone physically coming into my room and just dragging me out.
Yeah, by the ankles. Like in a... What's that film? You've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Paranormal Activity?
Paranormal Activity.
Oh, right, okay. Oh, no.
Still not watched it. Terrified. Kevin, have you got any awesome things for us?
Yeah, I've got one, actually. So I've been thinking a lot lately about... picture the scene, first of all.
Picture the scene?
Yeah, so you've got your...
Whoa, hold on.
What?
I can't picture scenes. I'm really bad at this.
Oh, we haven't done this in a while.
What are you talking about? I don't really understand what you're talking about.
Well, I haven't started yet.
Okay, sorry, go. Yeah.
Just open your mind.
Physically, like...
No, just imagine.
I'll just try and relax and soak in what you're telling me.
That's fine, yeah.
Okay, right, I'll do that.
So...
Soaking it in.
Mobile phones.
Uh-huh, mobile
phones. Think about your phone, your lovely phone.
Love it.
Think about
iPhone.
Think about the last time you in a situation where you, say, didn't have that much battery left. Perhaps you were down to when it goes red, so you know it's on like 20% or whatever.
I can imagine the time that's happened, yes.
Okay, good. Now, have you...
Oh, I'm losing it. And I've got it back.
Okay, fine. What's your battery on now? Have a look.
Oh, good question.
You might be able to play along.
Battery is currently on 46%.
That's quite a lot, actually. You're quite lucky there. Anyway.
It doesn't really help me picture it, actually. I'm just thinking about, I've got half my battery left and whether that's enough to get home later tonight.
Well, so that's kind of
part...
Think
about other things.
That's kind of part of the problem here.
Okay.
So... There are a lot of occasions. Right, yeah. So imagine it. You're at a festival. You keep turning your.
You're throwing me all over the place. So I'm now at a festival.
Yeah. So imagine you're at a festival.
Battery's at 46%.
Let's say it's at 17%.
Oh, okay. But I know that it's not.
But imagine a time when it was at 17% at a festival.
Oh, that's so specific. Okay, so...
Oh, roundabouts, you know, that's fine.
Okay, maybe it was at 23%, because I remember the time when it was 23%.
Okay, we'll go with that.
And it wasn't really a festival, it was more of a cheese, like, thing.
A cheese thing, right, okay.
It was like a wine and cheese event.
Somewhere that you didn't have access to charge your phone, right?
And yeah,
you,
right, there was no plug socket, yeah, so the wine and cheese, I remember it being really stressful.
Yeah, and you couldn't get home to charge it, you were staying over.
No, it was miles away.
You were camping and all that.
Yeah, I wasn't camping, though.
Oh, right, well, pretend you were.
Staying at a B&B.
Because you wouldn't be able to charge at the B&B.
Oh, yeah, there was a phone charger there. But you back to square one.
But you were hours away from getting to the B&B.
No, it wasn't. It was down the road.
No, but it was near the start of the day. You didn't want to leave the cheese festival. There's so much cheese.
That's true.
It was going to be like 11 o'clock at night before you got back to the B&B.
Oh, no, I couldn't have spent a whole day eating cheese. We've got IBS.
Well.
There was 20 minutes max at the cheese place. Otherwise, it would have been game over.
Right, okay.
Right, so I'm all over the place.
So, yeah, but you've only got 23% battery.
Well, it's probably about 21
now.
It's
now 21, yeah. It's dwindling. God. And you know that you can't charge it for a while.
No, oh God, what am I going to do?
So you've got to think, right, I've got to use this battery wisely.
Mm.
That's always the hard part, isn't
Quick,
it?
Take some pictures of some cheese that I really like.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't. Oh, no.
But then you might think, oh, well, I want to take some pictures of cheese. I know it's not really the best use of my battery, but kind of want to just do it anyway.
Yeah, rebel.
So what you might do is just get your phone out, start snapping away, snap, 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 and think, oh, this is fun. I'm going to take a few more.
Okay.
Maybe you put one on Instagram. Maybe it got 4 likes and you thought, oh, this has got potential.
I don't think I had Instagram when I went to the cheese festival.
MySpace.
I might have had MySpace, but you couldn't do instant upload to MySpace.
Right. Okay. Well, maybe kind you took them for later.
Kind of get what you're saying.
And maybe you start to think, oh, I'm using my battery, but a few more pictures won't hurt. And then suddenly, you know, you're down to 4% and thinking, oh, I actually had to make a phone call. I had to phone the taxi to get back.
I need GPS to get back in my car.
Yeah, and now I've knackered myself by taking all these photos of cheese.
Idiot.
If only I'd have not done that. Or only, even if I had 12% battery, that would have been enough for the GPS and the phone call.
I don't know. If
only I'd stopped.
Yeah.
Only I'd stopped.
Oh, if only.
Famous
God.
Last words. So.
What am I going to do? How am I going to get in touch with anybody?
You need my new invention.
Okay.
If you'd have had this at the start of the cheese festival, you would have been fine.
Oh, it would have been absolutely fine.
You ready for it?
Hit me.
I give you John Battery.
John Battery.
Yeah, John Bat Terry.
John Bat Terry.
Yeah.
Okay. What's that?
So, John Bat Terry is a battery control system. And when I say battery control system, really...
Why is it called John Bat Terry?
Like, John Terry.
John Terry?
But why him?
He's a football player.
Why him?
Oh.
Just because he has Terry in his name?
Well, I imagine this is a problem he has a lot. Let's move on.
What's any of this got to do with the cheese festival I'm at?
Because if you'd have had this at the cheese festival, you'd been fine. Let me explain the crux.
Was John Terry at the cheese
John
festival?
John Terry probably would have been. I heard he's a fan.
Oh, okay.
So the idea is that...
It was actually Alex from Blur's farm that I was at. So I don't think John Terry would
Alex
have
James
been.
Doesn't, it oh, doesn't work.
He loves his cheese.
Yeah, that doesn't work with the name Alex James.
Alex James Terry.
Doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
So anyway, it's a battery control device, but really it's a device that's controlling you and your usage. The idea being that when you get to a certain point, right?
Right.
So say you are at 23%, you know you're going to have to make a phone call.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you might want to do a couple of things that aren't necessarily mandatory. Fun things like take pictures of cheese, like I said.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or listen to the hamster dance on YouTube or
of
whatever.
Of course. Why wouldn't I want to listen to that?
The John Bat Terry will allow you to... a percentage of your battery to non-essential tasks and then cut you off once you've got past that point. So it will hold in reserve an amount of battery for the tasks you've assigned as being mandatory. So you say, right, I know that later on I'm at 4 o'clock I've got to make a phone call and use the GPS. Save enough battery for that and then it'll tell you, oh, that will require 50% battery and it will lock that off and then it'll say you've got 7% battery for your useless nonsense.
Yeah.
So you'll use your 7% battery and it'll stop you.
Yeah.
And it won't let you do any more other than the tasks you've assigned as those mandatory tasks.
Okay. But that doesn't make any sense because how will it know how long it's going to take for those mandatory tasks to be done?
The mandatory tasks, it will work out for you.
Oh.
You tell it what the task is and it'll say, oh, well, or it might
surely
be
it doesn't decide what is and what is not mandatory.
No, you tell it.
Yeah, but if there's 200 million mandatory tasks and only 4% battery, then what?
Well, you wouldn't have let you get to that point. Maybe.
Oh, quite intelligent.
As long as you remember to use it, you know, at the start of the Cheese Festival.
Robot Revolution.
Yeah.
Okay. So why is it called John Terry?
John Bat Terry.
But what's he got to do with that?
He's a pit name.
Is he a captain?
The person, yeah.
So he could be the captain of your battery. Smashed it.
That's exactly why I chose that name. I just didn't know it at the time.
Worst high five ever.
We just literally held hands then.
It was lovely. Right. Well, that was great. Send in your awesome things.
The Alex Baker Show podcast.
Anyway, so we're kind of pretty much out of time, which is really problematic because I've just messed up the ad breaks and where they sit, which means there's not going to be a lot of content here before another ad break, which is really actually just a no-no in the world of radio.
There's a lot of radio words going on here.
Yeah, sorry.
All you need to know is we've messed up. It's not your fault.
No.
But you're suffering for it.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say suffering. I think some of the adverts are actually very interesting.
No, I don't mean that. I mean in terms of the sloppy delivery that they're experiencing from us, you know?
Yeah, well, hopefully over the long-lasting career of this show so far, they've come to expect nothing less.
Well, we've only been doing it for just under 6 years, so we've got no excuse, but we don't claim to have one.
No. Who needs excuses when you've got such a fantastic product? Right, so we're going to do lots of things. We were going to do blagging it. We were going to do a whole section about Amnesty International and about how they're looking at decriminalising sex work. That was going to be a whole key part of the show tonight. In fact, me and Lee were speaking about it beforehand because Lee's got strong opinions on this and we were going to like really talk about it and get into the nitty-gritty. Instead, what did we even talk about?
We talked about Dawson's Creek for about 20 minutes.
With Dawson's Creek, I regaled you with a tale of a cheese festival that I once went to, I think. It's somewhere in the mix.
Pogs.
Pogs were in there.
MSN Messenger.
Yeah. Oh, evil. Man, she really broke my heart.
And your frosted tips.
Yeah. Oh, man, big into those frosted tips. Yeah. God, the chicks did flow for that one evening. And then I got myself into a series of long-term relationships. Don't want to be a player no more. Oh, Christ. Anyway, so we better go. I keep sort of, I know it looks like I'm grabbing my dick. I'm not, it's my, my boxer shorts have like ridden up. Do you ever get that when your boxer shorts ride up?
I don't.
And they start like pinching you. Yeah, so we're going to go. And
good
we'll
job,
see
Tony.
See you next time. Yeah, thanks, Tony. Always on it. Love that guy. I'm just going to log off that computer. I don't know why I just didn't wait to do it because we're off air to do this. But yeah,
do you want to turn the lights off while we're still talking?
Yeah, so let me just fade that down and just twiddle that knob over there. Okay, I think we're good.
Yeah, are we not put it on automation?
Oh, yeah,
ready to go?
Yeah, and just set it up for the next person. Oh, he hates it when I do that. Got to put Paul's lamp back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they won't enjoy that.
No. Fan. Download the podcast.
Download the podcast!
Huh? Yeah, Eric, if he's not. Huh?